that on.
All right. Thank you. You may be seated. I used to tell a couple of my elders when I get ready to speak, I'd say, I'd turn around, I'd say, turn me on. I had to quit that. So Paula's on one, I can say, turn me on. You know? Amen? Praise God. No, it's a pleasure to be. I've always said, if God don't have a sense of humor, I ain't going to make it. You know? But he does. Hallelujah. You know, he says he sits in the heavens and laughs at the gainsayers. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, China went and handed me one of the geek conference brochures, and I said, I don't need it. I said, I'm not a geek. I said, I operate here down at ground level. Amen. You know, amen. Praise God. Yeah, I'm not a genius. You know, praise God. We had a little niece one time that was a bubble baby. And don't really know that now, but she's one of those who lived in a bubble, and she was only supposed to live 2 years, but she lived till she graduated from high school, and was smart. And she told her grandmother one time, she said, you know, Ma, she said, I think I'll just go ahead and be a genius. But she was a smart little girl. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this is not my message, but turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. And, you know, the song that we sang, come off of this. Part of it came off of this verse. Verse 4. And I'll give you a little Greek nugget here. And where it says, in the last part of that, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. I'll stop right there. That is known in Greek circles as the tetragrammaton. It's known, two words, tetra and grammaton, four letters. That's what it's known as. And the four letters are YHWH, Yahweh. So this is a reference to Yahweh. Now, you know, the Jewish people, unless they're born again, they will not mention the name Yahweh. Because they said it's too holy a name to come from a human's lips. But born again, we can call him Yahweh. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The self-existent one, all-sufficient one. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, that having said, hallelujah. Let's begin with, you can turn your place right to Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, now, my notes are organized. They're not scribbled. Like some of the notes I see, I don't know how in the world I make sense of that, but mine are all organized. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to talk tonight about apostolic courage. Amen. Oh, they're right. Hallelujah. Apostolic courage. Now, you know, this is referenced the apostles, but how many of you know that they were disciples before they were apostles?
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. And, you know, disciple, you know, we get our word discipline from that. And disciple is a word that simply means, it's a word mathetes in the Greek. And it's a word which simply means that a learner. And listen to this. It is a pupil who follows a prescribed set of instructions. Amen. Not a hit and miss. Hallelujah. Now, be thankful that here at Georgetown, as your senior pastor, you have a teacher.
Amen.
Amen? You have a teacher. I do a lot of expository teaching and preaching. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I do a lot of that. And the reason is that this is my diagnosis of preaching. Expository preaching, which is verse by verse, will prohibit a person from taking a verse out of context. You know, there's an old seminarian quote that says this, a text taken out of context becomes a pretext. And so, you know, there are major denominations that have been formed on virtually one scripture. And how many know that's a mistake? Amen. Praise God. We cannot form doctrines on one scripture alone. Amen. That's why I always tell our people, you know, and when I say our people, I say the people in our church, people in my church and their church. We call them our children when we pray. Praise God, we don't call them our children face to face, but most of them are here, so we just call them our children tonight. Amen. But tell them that, you know, that expository teaching and preaching will produce a Bible literate congregation. Now, how many know that most, listen to me, how many know that most of the preaching that you hear today is topical preaching? Yeah. All topics. Which is not bad now, don't get me wrong. But did you know that before the decline, which started in the late 1100s, the decline in the church began because all that they were doing were topical messages? The Reformation was brought back by expository preaching and teaching. What it does is, and I don't like to use the word force, but it's very important, that expository preaching and teaching forces people to stay within the confines of what the Word of God is saying. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, don't allow them to wander outside. Like I said tonight, I won't be going there, but apostolic courage, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for an opportunity, Lord, be at Georgetown here with these precious people, Lord, and for those of our own congregation that have come. Lord, as we break the bread of the Word, we want to thank you that we are fellowshipping in revelation tonight. I want to thank you for that. Lord, be glorified in all that I say and do. I give you the glory right now, and all the people said, amen. Amen. I use the outline different points whenever I teach and preach. And, you know, when I was in Bible college, I was a Christ for the Nation. And, of course, every time you go to Bible college, you're not going to get out of Bible college without taking a homily course. And that is preaching, how to preach. Well, I'd been preaching for years and I went to Bible college. And they told us how to outline a message. And so we did that. And I was with one of my good friends, and we're still good friends today. He pastors in, what is it, Newcastle, Wyoming. And we're still friends. We stay in contact. And he's been in to see us three or four times. And I showed him one of my outlines, and he said, look at the date on that. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, you're doing that exactly like they said to do. And I said, that's what God taught me to do. Amen. Praise God. So, how many know whenever you're preaching or teaching, you have to do something that's going to direct people to a certain thing, to a certain thought. And so we're going to talk about apostolic courage. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, if we are, let's get started. What we're going to right now, okay? Look at point number one, is that the apostles said they had the courage to preach doctrines that were despised. Wow. They had the courage to preach doctrines that were despised. Now, one of the main doctrines that were despised during that time was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon as I was looking at my notes. You know that's a doctrine today that is still being confronted by some who don't believe that Jesus ever resurrected. Now listen, the bad part about that is, folks, is they've tried to include themselves within in the Christian arena. How many know that's impossible? Our whole walk with God hinges on one thing. Now I'm going to say one thing. That's the resurrection. People say, well, what about the cross? What about his death and his resurrection? I mean, his death and burial. Folks, listen, he could have died and been buried if he had never resurrected. You and I, the Apostle Paul says, we are still in our sins. Amen. If he never resurrected. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, people need to realize that. And when he came out of the grave, he didn't come out of there, folks, you know, half-hearted. He came out of there full of power and full of authority. Listen, the way he went in. Hallelujah. Praise God. He came out the way he went in. The death could have, the song says, death couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. The grave couldn't stop him. Death couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. From rising again. Look at Acts chapter 4. In verse 1 it says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. How many of all the religious leaders? Now I don't want to insult anybody, but you know what? You know what my my diagnosis or my interpretation or definition of religion is? It's something you can get on Sunday morning between 11 and 12. Because that's about all you're going to get in an hour. Hallelujah. I was talking to Pastor Rebecca tonight, and I said, how much time do I have? And she said, you got all the time you want. And I said, I normally do 50, 55 minutes. You know? Now, to some people, that would be an eternity. I've talked to friends who have gone to seminary, and they say, we were taught to preach 30 or 35 minutes. Well, I've already been 15 or 10 to 12 minutes, and I ain't got started yet. See, how many know if you got some revelation, folks, you can't crowd it into 30 minutes? Amen? Hallelujah. They come up, the religious group showed up. And how many know religion will always show up, man? When truth is going forth, religion will always show up to try to gain things. When we went to Paris, Kentucky back in 1986, I just graduated from Christ for the Nation, flew in one time, had a friend of mine take me up to Paris. He had a brother that worked over there to try to help us find a place to live and a place to start a church. Well, we had a former governor says, I know a woman who works in the courthouse there. I'm going to call her. She'll help you. You know what she told us? She said, we don't want your kind here. And, you know, I thought about casting the devil out of her, but I thought, well, we won't do that here in the courthouse. You know, I'll be the one getting locked up instead of her. Amen. But anyway, they told us that we don't want you here. And we'd really never gotten anything off the ground. I even got approached by a gentleman, told me, he said, who told you could start a church here? I said, I never asked anybody. and I'm not asking you. Well, are you a member of the Ministerial Alliance? I said, no, don't want to be. Don't want to be. I said, I'm not religious. I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look, don't nobody go out here saying, Pastor Carter said, everybody in the Ministerial Alliance is lost. I ain't say that. But religion has a potential to try to take over and to stymie the truth of coming forth. This is the very thing right here. Verse 2 says, they were being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 12. They were irate that the apostles continued to preach it. You see, I am by nature, born again nature now, one of those who it used to be a lost nature, that if you told me I couldn't do something, honey, that's what I'm going to devote 100% of my time to do. That's where I was before I got saved. And what I always thought too, I thought whenever I got saved, I thought, God, I will be just as good a person for you as I was for the devil. Hallelujah. Do not half do anything. Amen. I can't half do anything. Paul told me the other day, said, you did not empty the coffee pot and you did not wash your cup. And I said, well, I'm sorry, honey. To me, that's the first time I'd ever done it. But she called me to it. And I thought, well, I did not follow through. Hallelujah. But I will, praise God. You know, we were taught to eat everything on your plate. My daddy said, I don't care how much you take, but just eat all you take. So we were brought up to not to half do anything. Amen. And, you know, and I'm throwing in a lot of earthly things here. People look at our motorcycles and they say, those are they new? And I said, no, they're just clean. Yeah, I see people that ride, they don't look like they've washed them in 6 months. Well, we don't do that. Every time we ride, Paula cleans it up. I said, honey, that looks good. Brag on them. You know, I had friends, they lived on a farm, and man, they would work like Trojans. And their daddy, he learned something. He said, the more I brag on them, the harder they work. They didn't know that that's what he was doing. He'd brag on them, and they worked just that much harder trying to please daddy. Amen? So maybe that's what she's trying to do to me. Praise God. Amen. But let's look at some despised doctrines of our day. These will all be familiar to you. And the first one I'm going to look at, this is just one of many, is divine healing. You know, that is one of the most persecuted doctrines on the planet today. Amen? But let me tell you something. Eyes are being opened. Amen. Eyes are being opened. Man, Pastor, you heard some of the testimonies. I know you heard Pastor Lee's testimony. I understood that, you know, that he told you everything you knew but when he was here. But some of the miracles that this guy talks about, my Lord, you would not believe, man. I'm sure you haven't heard them all. We hear them in pastor's meetings of some of the miracles that are taking place. And people are beginning to see that there is something to this thing called divine healing. Amen? Praise God. Doctors are having to admit, one person's back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I've got your disc here, whatever it is. And he said, and I've got this one. This is what it was. And he said, this is what it is. He said, there's nothing here. And he said, I have no explanation for this whatsoever. He said, there's nothing wrong with what was wrong with you before. I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was the heart and something. But he said, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, I have no explanation. Had a friend that went in for an operation concerning his heart. Doctor went in, sewed him back up, brought him out of the operating room and said, later said in his recovery, said, I'm going to have to write a letter to your insurance company and explaining why I did not operate on you whenever I went in. He said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You have the heart of a 16-year-old kid. Divine healing. See, Pastor Jack shares, you know, with the miracles that he sees here. We've seen them at Whitey. Look, miracles are taking place every single place that you can find somebody bold enough to pray. Amen. Amen. And here's the thing about it. We're talking about apostles tonight, apostolic courage. But listen, I asked Pastor Callahan one time, and I knew the answer, but I wanted to hear him say it. I said, look, is this generic only to those in fivefold ministry? He said, absolutely not. This is for, he said, and he gave some to the church. He gave all of these giftings, his first miracles. Hallelujah. You know, that's what he mentioned most. He gave miracles. Acts chapter 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, I believe it is, somewhere along there. But anyway, that's the first one. Now, we know Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That was for our sins being taken away. Hallelujah. And then with his stripes were healed. You know, when we do communion at our place, we always remind the congregation. They know it, but we always remind it because we want people to hear it. Is that there are two parts to communion. First of all, you remember the body of Jesus Christ. He took the stripes for my and your healing before he shed his blood for your remission of your sins. If you would go to 1 Peter 2:24, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just quote it for you. And last part of that verse says, and with his stripes you were healed. That's a word right there. It comes from the word iaomai. It's in an aorist tense verb, passive voice, which simply means that somebody else, God, did the healing, and it's an act that has been completed. And it's literal physical healing. Well, you know, Pastor, God took care of the spiritual. God took care of the spiritual, and he took care of the physical also. Amen? Right. Hallelujah. Remember this. When we talk about peace, we all know the word shalom, right? Amen. Hebrew word means peace. The definition of that is nothing broken, nothing need to be fixed, spirit, soul, and body. Well, the Greek word eirene means the same thing. And both of those mean, I asked God one time, I said, Lord, what does it mean? Here, give me an explanation of this word eirene. It's not just a tranquil state of mind, although that comes with it. But he said, I'm trying to get my church back to what Adam had in the Garden of Eden. I thought, wow, that's something. See, Adam had it all. Amen? Praise God. He had everything. Spirit, soul, body was taken care of. Physical, material, financial. Hallelujah, all taken care of. He lacked nothing until he messed up. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of you should have kept better watch over Eve? Amen. Hallelujah. I catch some slack for that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And see, I can never understand why anybody could not understand Isaiah 53. See? Hallelujah. See, there are so many scriptures, praise God, that God's trying to get to it. You see, I've heard people, how many of you heard the old saying about it takes two scriptures to confirm anything? See, it's not scriptural. What, Pastor? What? Not scriptural. That was talking about taking a man to court. Simply said this, don't you go to court and try to testify against a person just by yourself. You better have somebody else that knows the story too. It's not going to make any difference. You're going to get thrown out. Not person. You know, there are people who have been, we know who have been tried for crimes that they had eyewitnesses. Only one eyewitness, they were never convicted. But see, praise God. The scriptures, there are so many of them that tell us that divine healing is for today. Now, how many know that we have to learn to walk in divine healing? Amen? Now, Pastor Callahan always said divine healing is better than, divine health is better than divine healing. He said, you need a miracle. If you don't learn how to walk in divine health, you'll need a miracle again sometime along the way. Well, I think that possibly we're going to need it. You have not yet needed your last miracle. It's going to come again. But praise God, we got something we can stake our belief system on. I like what Pastor Jack says about quantum physics. Somebody said, what do you know about quantum physics? I said, nothing. I only know what Jack Shoup said. And I hope he isn't lying. And it's simply this, that molecules react differently when they're spoken to than they do when they're looked at. But they respond accordingly with the belief system of the person that is speaking to them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something, folks? Look at your neighbor and said, you're made up of molecules. We're just a ball of molecules is all we are. Hallelujah. And things can be changed. See, that's what happens whenever a miracle takes place in our lives or in our bodies. Is how many know the molecular structure has changed? Why? We believed what the word said to us, or we believed whenever somebody spoke over us, laid hands on us. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Greek word means that they will continue to get better until they are fully restored. Now, let's go to the second thing. And that's speaking in tongues. Despise doctrine. How many know most of the denominations have, some of them have moved one step closer now. They're saying now, we don't care if you have a prayer language, you're just not going to use it here. And you're not going to try to teach anybody else here about it. So they are one step closer. They used to deny that it ever took place at all. But it has, hallelujah. You know, I've got a teaching. It probably takes about three services to do it, but it's 20 reasons to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And they're all scriptural, praise God. Number one reason, because the Bible says I can. Had a person tell me one time, said, do I have to speak in tongues? I said, no, you get to. You get to speak in tongues, amen? I think it was, Rebecca, correct me on that. When Bobby Jean was here a couple of years ago, she said that the Lord showed her that, I believe this is what she said, that the two most things, the things that are going to be persecuted the most are divine healing and speaking in tongues. You know, they are. Today, they still are. Hallelujah. And, you know, if you speak in tongues, you have been marked. Amen. But I tell you what, the witches won't fool with you. Amen. That's right. They won't fool with you because they know you got more power than they do. Hallelujah. You know, we always hear these things. There's two kinds of magic. No, there's black magic and there's white magic. No, it's all evil magic. Amen. Hallelujah. And most magic is sleight of hand. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, whenever it talks about, you know, a sleight of hand, there's one word in there, it's the word kubos, and it means dice. That's where we get our word dice from. It means cubes. Hallelujah. And you know, it's just like they're rolling the dice and seeing what'll come up. You know, just like, I don't know why people go to casinos. You can't beat the casinos. As a matter of fact, if you start beating them, they're going to kick you out on your head if they don't beat the daylights out of you when they do. How many of you ever saw the movie about this professor and these three students from MIT? And they had it figured out. They started beating the casinos big time. They mathematically figured out the sequence. And they got barred from every casino in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the deal was, you stay out of them. If you don't, you're going to jail. We got the goods to send you to jail. But if you stay out of them, we won't touch you. Well, they didn't touch them. They had to stay out of them. Because they had it figured out. They could beat it every single time. Hallelujah. Well, how many know the only way that we're going to beat the sleight of man is by the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we're advocates of praying in tongues. I know you are here. Paula and I, man, we got born again. Hallelujah. 8 days later for her, 9 days later for me, we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, I mean, and you know, we didn't have no beep to beep to beep to beep to beep. Man, we had a fluent language, both of us. And I was so loud, my pastor's wife laughed at me. Paula got mad because she thought she was making fun of me. I mean, honey, it hit us. She got up. She said that night before we went to church, she said, look, if they give the call for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going. She got up and I said, we ain't going to you ain't getting nothing. I'm not going to get. So I followed her right to the altar. Man, I mean, the power of God come on us. Hallelujah. And the very next night, I left, got in my Corvette and was going to go play basketball. And got to speaking in tongues and had to pull over on the side of the road, spoke in tongues for 30 minutes. Had a friend call me one time. He said, Carter, after you preached on Wednesday night, he said, he was in Florida. He said, I hadn't speaking in tongues. It's a Sunday. I hadn't quit speaking in tongues this Wednesday. Here's my question to anybody that's been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't ask them, do you speak in tongues? Or have you spoken in tongues? I say, do you speak in tongues? I find out this. I find out that most people get baptized with the Holy Ghost and seldom ever speak in tongues after that. Well, folks, what did he give it to you for? He didn't give it to you to shelve it. He gave it to you for you to use. Hallelujah. It's primarily, you know, though that's part of it, it's not been used to pop up in church and spout off tongues, but more, it's been given most of all for your daily prayer life. Hallelujah. And then speaking in tongues will bring revelation. You know, people don't like that. You know, I've got some excuses here. I've heard reasons like this. Oh, God doesn't do that anymore. And I said, oh. It's like a little boy spoke in tongues in church. The pastor says, son, we don't do that anymore here. And he said, well, I do with it now. I got it. I already got it. Well, I do with it. And I said, I do. Yeah, I do. I speak in tongues every day. Hallelujah. Well, what happens? What happens? What kind of feeling do you have? I said, I don't have no feeling. I just decide I want to speak in tongues. I just speak in tongues. I don't have to be overtaken and get into a trance. You know, my eyes get big as a 50-cent piece and I start speaking in tongues. That's what most people think. That you're in a trance. I thought, no, I'm coherent. I've had some people say, well, you speak in tongues? And I said, yeah. And I said, now, wait a minute. You've been around me for a while. Now, look, I ain't growing horns. And I'm totally rational. Amen. I carry on a rational conversation. You know, I can converse about some things. I like to talk about God, but I can talk about a lot of other things. I just choose the most of the time to talk about God. I can converse in other avenues, but don't want to. I'm going to talk about God. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I found out, you know, there's most Christians are people confessing to be Christians. You can't talk to them about God. If you get beyond salvation, man, you lose them. Amen. How many of the apostles, they didn't care about that. Praise God, they went headstrong. You know, most Bible scholars believe that the book of Acts, the first 8 chapters through chapter 8 and the first 3 verses of chapter 8 were the formation period of the church, the New Testament church. Now, I ask people sometimes when I talk about that, look, why would God stop doing all the things that he used to establish the church, why would he stop doing those things? Well, all of a sudden we don't need those things anymore. You know, there's people out there that say, and they're everywhere. God don't speak directly to people anymore. You got the word. I thought, sorry. I'm sorry. He speaks to me every day. Amen. He'll speak to anybody that's reading the word. And I want to ask him, I haven't been that adamant about it, but I want to ask him, where do you get your messages? Why are you having thoughts when you're preparing a message? If you are, son, open up your eyes and your ears. God is speaking to you. I had a professor in Bible college that said this: I'm more convinced that God is more willing to speak than we are to listen. See, we have thoughts every day, and we think, because God speaks to us in the realm of where we live and the vernacular. You know, I use the word ain't sometime. We'll use it a lot of time. It's in dictionary now, so we can use it. Ain't not. But he speaks to us where we are. And we have a thing to think, that's just me. See, when it isn't. See, it's God speaking to you. He just happens to speak down there where you and I are living. Amen? Praise God. But those are two things, speaking in tongues and divine healing. People have a hard time with them, hard time handling them. Amen? The apostles didn't care. Amen? They went right on. Hallelujah. And another thing they'll say, there's no need for that. And then here's the last one. Now, I haven't heard this one in a while, because I think maybe a little bit of fear has come upon those who would say such things, that that's of the devil. I haven't heard that for a long time. Used to hear it all the time. Used to hear it all the time from pastors that I knew of other churches that were not in the same vein that I was in. You know, that to stay away from those people. When we lived in Ashland, we were unsaved at the time, and you know, we were searching. Paula was searching more than I was. She'd go to church sometime. We went to a church over in Wheelersburg, Ohio, Ohio. And great preacher. I know his name. He was a good preacher, a good brother, loved people. But he told us, he said, one thing you need to do, stay away from those tongue talkers. And that was the first place we went. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad we did. Praise God. When we got born again, God led us to a Word of Faith church. We had wonderful teachers. I talk about the wife of this couple, who today, she is as good a teacher as any person, any woman that we hear. I really, as any man, she was a better preacher than her husband was. And man, she could teach the Bible and lived it. Hallelujah. At that particular time. Now, the last one I want to mention here, and when I'm done preaching, okay, is sin's effect upon the soul after salvation. Somehow or other, the church by and large has gotten the idea that sin will have a different effect on a saved person than it does on a lost person. Folks, let me know, sin don't change. Sin always has the same effect. It makes no difference who is committing it. It always has the same effect. And, you know, I meet people all the time. But, you know, I have a friend who pastored a church in the western part of the state, of the country. And, you know, he's beginning to question some things that he's been taught. I can just tell by his conversation. And, you know, I want to unload on him full bore, but I can't right now because at this point he wouldn't receive it. But he's saying some things that he and I have talked about, and that is that sin will have the same effect on anybody that commits it. It makes no difference who they are. Now, see, you might not agree with what I'm going to say, but folks, listen, we haven't quit sinning yet. Amen. We haven't quit sinning yet. I know that because we're not perfect. Hallelujah. It's like a guy said, there's only two perfect people that ever walked this earth, and they killed the other one. Well, see, we haven't quit sinning yet. Now, the Bible talks about practicing two things and two things only. One of them is sin, and the other is righteousness. See, we only practice. We'll practice one of the two. We will either practice sin or we will practice righteousness. Now, how many know practicing something is something that you do over and over and over? Now, we, you know, if we sin, praise God, we can get that taken care of. Jesus offered that sacrifice once and for all. Praise God. It stays in effect. Praise God. And all we have to do is confess it. Hallelujah. We're ready to go. But look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 with me. 19 through 21. We know these, but I'm going to read it to you. And just for the sake of just to read it, to, you know, to refresh our mind. So now the works of the flesh are evident. Now let me say about every one of these that I'm going to read. Folks, we do not need deliverance from these. We do not need deliverance from these. You say, why do you not need deliverance? Because they're things that we can take care of ourselves. A prophet one time was approached by a woman, and she said, you know, I want you to help me to get over a certain thing. I won't say what it was. And he said, just stop sinning. He said, that's all you got to do. Just stop sinning. He said, you can do it. You can stop. Now, the way that we combat that, and you, I don't have to tell you that, is your spirit is built up. You see, in Romans chapter 6, along about verse between verses 4 and 6 there, it said that that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word destroyed there is not the word apolemy, which means to annihilate. It's the word katargeo, and it means to render operative. See? Now you say, why are you saying this, Pastor? I'm saying this. You and I have to stay on top of things because either the flesh or the spirit is going to take over. One of the two. See? And you have to keep, I've heard people say, well, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that remains. Let me tell you something, folks. How can the old man rise up if he was annihilated? See? He couldn't rise up if he was annihilated. He's not annihilated. He's rendered operative. Praise God. Because it's a flesh thing. All of these different things, you know, this freedom. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. That word sorcery is the word pharmakeia. It means it's drugs. Hallelujah. We get our word pharmacy from it. Hallelujah. Men of the world, people hooked on, you know, prescription. We're hearing more and more people hooked on prescription drugs now than they are the hard stuff. They're hooked on prescription drugs. I asked Pastor Jack one time, I said, tell me why an adult would want to get into that. And, you know, just praise God for anybody that's been delivered from that. He said, because he said, some of that stuff you take, he said, your brain tells you that if you don't get, you're going to die. And I thought, wow. See, I've never done that. The closest I've ever got to drugs was one puff off of marijuana. And I just did that. You know, we were at a party, and they wanted to do that, and I didn't do that. And we up and left as a New Year's Eve party because now they brought out the needle. And I said, no. Now I'm as lost as can be. But I thought, I want nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. You know, drank, but I always stopped before I got mindless. As much as anybody did, but never did any hard drugs. Never took medicine. Until I was 46 years old. You say, I still take a little bit now, yeah? And I'm trying to walk that out. But it goes on to talk about hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, and heresies. I'm reading from New King James. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and like such, you said, which I tell you beforehand, as I told you in time past, listen to this, that those who practice such things. They become a lifestyle. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They were not afraid to preach doctrines that were despised. Now, see, a whole lot of, and that, we don't major on it, but a whole lot of preachers won't mention sin. Because they're afraid to offend people and they'll leave. Let me say this. I'm saying this as lovingly as I can. Anybody that leaves just goes and takes their problems to somebody else. Had a person left me because she said, I was sick and you never come visit me. I said, you never told me you were sick. I laughed, got mad. Yeah. And I said, I never knew you were sick. And you know, from her house, she could throw a rock on the church. I said, I never knew you were sick. You know, and little old things like that, some of the things, you know. I've heard people leave because the pastor didn't shake their hand. Yeah, I never got that started. I heard an international evangelist one time, his wife, and she did all the talking. He did the preaching. She did all the talking. And she was naming all the influential people, Dr. So-and-so. And he said, hush, you're going to miss somebody. And they're going to be offended. And I thought, boy, you're right. I thought it happened in smaller crowds than that. Amen. Hallelujah. They had the courage to speak, despise doctrines, and continue to teach them. Number two, and I'm not going to get done with it. They had the courage to speak the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. You know, listen. We teach a lot about prosperity. We teach a lot about divine healing. But, you know, our people can tell you, you know, they get a steady diet. Amen? They get the beans, the potatoes, the meat, the salads. They get it all. Hallelujah. We don't just teach them particular things. But let me tell you something about it. I think the statistics are, may not have these right, but they're pretty close, that there are 500 scriptures about salvation. There are somewhere 5 or something about healing. There are 2,000 about prosperity. How many know God's trying to get something to us? Amen. How many know, folks? See, the electric company won't take 4 dozen eggs or a side of beef for your light bill. You need money. Walking around money. Amen. Now, I say that jokingly, but that's a fact. You see, we need money. We need money to operate. Hallelujah. And there was a group way out west one time, they formed a community and they started a bartering system. You know, the government shut them down. They didn't use money. You know, they may bring a side of beef to get a set of tires or something like that. The government shut them down because they weren't getting any taxes off of it. Let me give you another one. You ever wonder why the 127 yard sale has plummeted? Because the state sent out auditors to see how much money people were making. Because they were not getting any revenue from what's been made there. Because we had families make $4,500, $5,000 on a weekend selling stuff. I mean, they'd sell boats and cars and trailers. And state wasn't getting any taxes off of it. So that thing is really plummeted. And then, you know, they don't line the road anymore. They made them now get back off the road. And I guess they did it because some people got run over. But the main thing was the money, the big money thing. But they had courage to speak the whole counsel of God. Acts 4:20 says this, for we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, that they were gathered together to try to stop it. You know, we call ourselves the full gospel church. Hallelujah. Every word of faith, church does. We are full gospel. Hallelujah. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we preach the whole thing. Praise God. We don't leave any part of it out. You know, I personally, I can't leave any of it out. I just can't. Hallelujah. You know, I teach and preach some things sometime, and I thought, well, you know, why are you doing this? And so I just have to tell myself, it's because God said so. Amen. God said to do it. But they had the courage to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, anything that God has done, he can do it again. The song says that he'll do it again. I like that. That's what I like about God. You always get the same results. Now, he may use a different avenue to get the result, but he'll always do the same thing. The word that he said will always come to pass like he says it will. He may use different avenues to get it done. That's what I like about Jesus, because I can't figure him out. Just about the time I think I've got him figured out, he'll do something a different way. And I guess that's to keep me hungering after him. Amen. And I love that. Praise God. You know, I keep saying, Lord, when I'm praying, I said, Lord, one day I'm going to see you face to face. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's going to all be worth it. It's worth it now, but then face to face. Hallelujah. Everything that we, you see, I didn't give up anything when I got saved. I told a teenager one time, I said, I can do anything I want to do. He said, oh, no, you cannot. I said, yeah, I can. I only want to do what God wants me to do. That's when I can do anything that I want to do. Amen. Because I want to do what God said do. Hallelujah. And I love that. Praise God. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, look, folks, God did it all for us. You don't have to try to figure anything out. He's already told you in the Word what to do and how to do it. And we don't have to figure out. People say, well, I don't know what I'll do this now. I'm going to pray about it. So let me tell you something. If you have to question whether or not you should do it, you better leave it alone. Because that's the devil trying to slip a Mickey in on you. Uh-oh. Amen? And Mickeys don't work good. I've had one. I didn't know I was getting it, but I got it. And it hadn't been for a friend of mine, I would have been robbed for sure and might have been killed. But praise God. See, the devil slipped a Mickey in on us when Adam disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. But hallelujah, how many of Jesus came back and cured us of it? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The whole counsel of God. Now, the third thing, they had courage to stand amidst persecution. Listen, this is not negative, but we've not yet seen the persecution that we're going to see in this country. I've told our people at Whitey, if they lock me up, come get me. Because I made up my mind, nobody is going to tell me when and where I can preach the gospel. Amen. I don't care who they are. They're not going to tell me. I'm going to do what God says do, where he says do. The apostles did. Amen. They did. They didn't back down. They had the courage to stand against persecution. Acts 8:1 said, at that time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They didn't run. When I was in Bible college, we talked about, I took a class on missions. And they said that God had what he called a people pump. People would come into Jerusalem for the feast, and then they would go right back out taking the word of God with them. You know, there's a saying that when Mao took over China, he said, we're going to build roads, good roads to the remote parts of China where that we can get all over China and persecute people. Well, see, he was foolish because he made a way for the missionaries to get to remote parts of China. See, God had a plan. Amen. People were scattered abroad. In the Greek, it's called the diaspora, dispersion. They were sent out. And God used people that were going out to spread the gospel to the remote corners of the world. And let me fast forward. I'll go to 1 Peter chapter 4 with me, verse 12. Deuteronomy says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the Judaic creed. Hallelujah. Hear, O Lord, O Israel, our Lord is one Lord. You know, there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's some places calling themselves within the confines of Christianity who don't believe in a Trinity. They believe in the Father and the Son, they don't believe the Holy Spirit. Now see, I wouldn't read anything or listen to anything that anybody in that vein puts out. Because the Bible says it's the Holy Ghost that teaches us the Word of God. Amen. Now can you imagine in your life, just say right now, just take for granted, or say in your life that you ruled out the Holy Spirit. See, we'd have nothing. See, all we would have is a soulish understanding of the Word of God. There'd be no revelation because that's how revelation comes. By the Holy Ghost. You know, we've all been to the place where we didn't understand something. We'd say, now, Lord, show us. Show us. The Bible says that when He's come, Spirit of Truth, He said He will guide you into all truth. And He said He would bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I've said to you. But He teaches us. Hallelujah. Beloved, it said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire trial. 1 Peter 4:12. Which is to try you. My pastor once told me, my first pastor, I've only had two. One place I was there 9 years, another place I was 15 years, and left there only to come to Waddy to pastor. And we've got friends that have been saved for 20 years and been 14 churches. But he said, don't pray for trials. He said, they come with a package. He said, they're going to come, you know. And we know James said, if trials come. No, he said, when? When trials come. He fall into various trials. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, as though some strange thing happened to you, verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, not physical sufferings, but pressures. Pressures that come from serving God, from those who are not of the same persuasion you are. That when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. How many know things will make you happy? Knowing Jesus will give you joy. Amen. Hallelujah. When the things are gone, the happiness goes with them. But when Jesus is there, the joy remains. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. You know, we have to examine ourselves sometime why things are coming. I've heard people, administer to people, Paul and I have in our first few years walking with God, that people call us and they say, you know, this is happening, blah, blah, blah. And we'd go to them, we'd say, what do you have in your house? And they'd look, it's kind of funny. We said, you got any demonic trinkets? See, people don't understand. These things can invite the demonic to come into a home. And I'm covering the gamut tonight. Get them out of your house. Hallelujah. Don't give the enemy an opportunity to be there or a reason to be there. But said, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't let him be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Glorify him for suffering? No. That your Christianity will stand in the midst of all persecution. Amen. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us first, he said, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? We'll do one more. It said they had the courage to live above the fear of man. Amen. Verse 19, Acts 4, 19, said, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. And then chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, the anointing of God sets us apart. Now, see, I believe that when a person gets saved, there is an anointing that comes upon them. But I believe that anointing can increase as a person, they gain, not only do they gain, I don't want to call it knowledge, though the Bible calls it, but I'm going to call it revelation. You see, knowledge is something that you know. Revelation is something that you can live. Revelation. It's a word, apocalypsis. It means an uncovering, a revealing. And whenever God opens our eyes and we see. You know, in reference to baptism with the Holy Ghost, I've had people tell me that have been saved for years and they said, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's like the light came on. Now I see things out of the scriptures that I have read time and time again. Now I see more out of that. It's an illumination. Now Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how that, you know, the eyes of our, it actually says understanding. The Greek text, the eyes of our heart. The heart in that culture, cardia, was the seat of the intellect, the will, the emotions. See, and can be used interchangeably for spirit. It says our eyes being enlightened, our understanding, our hearts being enlightened. Whenever the light comes on, that's that word photizo. We get our word photo from that. And it simply means, hey, the light come on, praise God. And what happens when a picture is taken? When a picture is taken, now we do them on hard drives. It is ingrained on that hard drive, and it can be called up anytime that you want to see it. That's the way revelation is. When we receive a revelation, it is ingrained in our spirit. And if it's there, it can be called up again. See, there's the difference between revelation and just knowledge. Amen. See, how many know a lot of people have knowledge? Have you ever been around somebody that can quote you the Bible and you question whether or not they're even saved? Oh, yeah. I heard a lady one time stand up, and when she got done, the preacher said she quoted 100 scriptures. I questioned whether or not the woman's even saved. Quoted 100 scriptures. It took her 35 minutes or so. But revelation is ingrained upon our spirit. Listen to me. The spirit is the hard, our spirits, they are the hard drives for the revelation of God. Amen? Hallelujah. They had courage to live by the fear of man. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord's on my side. Everybody say, God is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, man can't do anything to us. People ask me all the time, said, if you believe God will protect you, why you carry a pistol? I said, in case God don't get there in time. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I said, God, if you ain't going to handle it, let me know and I'll take care of it myself. No, not really. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We know this scripture. But of love, power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Amen? Sound mind. Self-control is what the sound mind means. Self-control. How many know believers need self-control today? Hallelujah. We live in the hedonistic society where pleasure is the big thing. And you know, hallelujah. How many know God has nothing to do with pleasure as long as it comes anytime after Him? Now I'm meddling now. Go on preaching. Quit preaching with the meddling. One more and I'm done. Promise. Paula just rolled her eyes. I didn't say I was quitting. I said I was going to share one more. I didn't say I was quitting. They had courage to hazard their lives for Christ. Acts 15:25 said, "It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this phrase, one accord, occurs 12 times in the Scripture. 10 of them are in the book of Acts. Now, what does it mean? It's a big old long word, homothumadon. And here's the background of this word in the Greek language. It is different instruments playing different notes at a different time, yet it comes out a harmonious sound. Now, let me say it. Let's get down where the rubber meets the road. Everybody's on the same page. Amen? Now, how many know the church needs to get on the same page? Amen? People say, well, you want everybody to believe like you do? And I said, well, for a whole lot of people, they'd be better off than they are. I don't know as much as some people, but I know a whole lot more than a whole lot of people know. And, you know, how many know when we see something that's working, how many know we ought to at least investigate it? Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Not comparing ourselves with ourselves. The Bible warns against that. Don't ever compare yourself to another human being. I've told people this. I know people who have characteristics that I'd like to have, but I desire to be like no other human being on the face of this earth. If I were, I wouldn't be me. I'd be a clone of them. But I have people who have characteristics. I know people who have characteristics that I want, that I'd like to have. One of them is Pastor Callahan. He said he hadn't lost his temper since he's 7 years old. I thought, what? Man, I don't have to go back any farther in 2 days. I call them blessed souls now instead of morons. The road is full of them. I don't want to offend anybody, but 90% of them are truck drivers. But it's a fact. Well, I thought, what a characteristic, man. Wow. Man, I thought, I'd like to have that. Now, I'm convinced. I give up. I ain't ever going to get there. Paul, I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I am pursuing the love walk. I got 4 confessions I make. I said, God, I'm after love, love, love. God is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. And people know that I'm a disciple of Christ because I have love for one another. It's a confession thing. Hallelujah. I sow into Pastor Callahan because I said I want his merciful spirit. You know, we were taught when we were kids, if you had a problem, just go for the juggler. Don't patty cake around. Cut the juggler. Do like the lions and the cheetahs do. First thing, they grab it by the neck. They don't fool around. They don't try to grab them by the leg, make them holler, ouch. No, they get them right by the neck. And they don't give up until it's over. That's what we were taught. Get on with it. Don't beat around the bush. Get on with it. You know, there's a word for diligent in the Greek language. It's the word spoudazo, and it means to make haste. I always say this. Don't drag your feet. Get on with it. Get it done. That's what that word diligent means. Get it done. Stop thinking about it. You know, the more you think about doing something, the less chances there are you're going to do it. Because you can talk yourself out of, and you can talk yourself out of a bunch of things. Yeah. You know, Kenneth Copeland said whenever he used to pray as a young believer, he said, if I only raise one hand, he thought, I only get half what I'm praying for. I remember people say, well, God told me to give $50 and I gave $25. I said, you didn't obey God? Oh, yeah, I gave. I said, no, you didn't. He said, give $50 and you gave $25. You never did anything in the sight of God. And we're not taking an offering, so. I was preaching one night in Lexington, and I said, I'm going to preach up a storm, and so help me, the lights went out. It was pitch dark in there. And I said, when we get ready to take offering, don't you try to get up and do it. You sit still, I'll come to you. I preached, but somebody brought me their cell phone and turned it on where it would not go off, and I used that as a light to preach. So how many know better watch what you say? Some woman countered me, said, do you realize that your words have power? I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I thought, I don't need an exhortation from you. The lights went out and I were back on. Yeah, and that's funny. And they came on after the service was over. I thought, okay. Hallelujah. Oh, I guess I better shut up. I done messed up your theology enough. Pastor Jack will clean it up when he gets back. Hallelujah. My pastor of 15 years told me, he said, one thing I got to say about you. And he was a seminary graduate. He was a brilliant man. He said, you know what? He said that for the people. He said, one thing I know. He said, after Carter, he said, I've never had to clean up after him. I didn't preach anymore after that. I thought, well, I guess he's going, sure, he don't have to. Yeah. Hallelujah. But praise God. I'm not in competition in the body of Christ. Amen. I got two more pages of notes, but I'll cut you loose. Hallelujah. Bow your head. Hallelujah. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, I'm just going to open it up. Hallelujah. And let you come. And we'll wrap this thing up here and turn it back over to Rebecca. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told me, he said, wherever you go, I want you to reference the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And I do. If you are filled with the Spirit or have been and you do not speak with tongues on a regular basis, I want you to come. I'm going to lay my hands on you. It is so, so important. You know, that this is a blessing that God gave you, and he wants you to use it. It can pay you dividends, hallelujah, in your life. So I assume everybody prays on a regular basis. That's good. What a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell our people all the time, I said, everybody saved? And they say, yeah. Everybody in victory? Yeah. Everybody healed? Yeah. Everybody prosper? Yep. And I said, must be that wonderful teacher. I'm a blessed man. My job is done. Hallelujah. You know, when I first went there, I told him, I said, look, if you'll listen to what I tell you, I will do 95% of my counseling from right here. You remember that? From right here behind this lectern. I don't do much counseling. Now, maybe two reasons for that. One of them may be that it won't talk to me. I tell them too, look, I said, look, I tell people, and where I go, I said, look, if you're going to come to me for counsel, we're going to talk the word. We're not going to talk what you believe. We're going to talk the word. We're going to apply the word to your situation. And I also say this, I said, when they come and it's the same problem, I say, same counsel is what I told you last time you came. Until you do what I told you to do the last time we counseled, there's no use in me talking to you again. Because you're not going to go any farther until you do what I told you to do the last time we counseled. You say, is that harsh? No, it's just straight to the point. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody need prayer for anything?